Well, good morning, everyone, and what a beautiful day it is to worship and to glorify our great God. As we've just sung, we thank him for the cross, the greatest sacrifice ever known to humanity, that Jesus Christ died for us. He died on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for again reminding us of your love, your unconditional love, mercy, grace, and favor. And Lord, we just say again, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you have done for us. Lord, if you weren't to do another thing for us, then, oh Lord, you've already done enough. We're grateful. And with a heart of thanksgiving, we will bless you, O Lord. As we come now to feast on your holy word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, as I stand behind this podium, I pray that your people would not see me, but Lord, that they would hear from you. We want to see you like Isaiah saw you, high and lifted up. The train of your glory filled the temple. Would you fill this house now with your love and your presence, and speak to us like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are, as Richard has said, we're starting a new series. And if I could describe this new series, it's almost like being around a massive big table. Nice, big, round table. And around the table, friends, are people from different backgrounds and also people that have different experiences. For some around the table, they have been sitting around the table for a long, long time. Maybe some 30, 40, even 50 plus years. And they know all of the formality of church. They know everything about the gospel. They know everything about Christ. They know everything about how we operate and do church. But then there are others around the table who maybe they have just recently taken a seat around the table. Maybe they don't know too much about the formalities of church. They don't know about the order. They don't know too much about this gospel that we so boldly proclaim. But what I love about church, what I love about the good news, what I love about Jesus, is that whoever you are, regardless of your background, regardless of your experience, all are welcome to sit around his table. And that is great news, and that's what I love personally about church. All are welcome. Whether you know this much about God or whether you know this much about God, everyone is special in the eyes of God. So this series, for some, it may be like a refresher, if you will. You've heard this all before, but it's good to be refreshed, to know more about the good news of Jesus and his word. But for some, this may be hot off the press. And that's great. That's what it's all about. And I would encourage you, friends, for those of you who are members, you've been coming here for a long time, I would encourage you throughout this series, please seek to invite someone out, because this is a wonderful opportunity to invite someone who doesn't know much about the gospel, doesn't know much about Jesus. This will be a great opportunity over the next seven sessions or so to really engage more about the good news of Jesus Christ. So today, as we start this new series, as you've watched from the video, our subject today is the good news. And if I could just add a little twist, a little Nathan twist to it today, I'm going to ask the question, what's really good? What's really good about it? What's really good about it? Friends, from the world's perspective, if we were to head out to the streets of Sittingbourne and ask a very simple question, what is the best news you have ever received? I'm sure, more than likely, we would hear responses like this. The best news I've ever received was the day the love of my life asked for my hand in marriage. For some out there, the day when they made those vows at the altar was perhaps the greatest day of their lives. Others may say was the day they found out they were going to be a mother or a father for the very first time. And that news of a newborn, the expectancy of a child to be born, can bring such joy and happiness to the hearts of new parents. Others may say, best news they've ever heard was the day they found out, for those who perhaps indulge in the lottery, and for those who were able to be in the receiving end of being successful for their ticket, maybe some out there would say it was the day I won millions and millions of pounds. Or maybe you'd find out there on the streets of Sittingbourne some who would say it was the day I became a grandparent for the first time. A grandmum or a granddad. However, church, I would be very amazed, I'm sure we would all be, and surprised if we were to go out onto the streets and asking that question, what's the best news you've ever heard? And I would be so amazed if one of those responses would be, the best news I've ever heard is death. Best news I've ever heard is someone dying. Because that really wouldn't make sense. From the world's perspective, death and good news, it just doesn't mix. There isn't a correlation from the world's perspective with death and good news. I remember a few years ago during the pandemic, it was coming to the time of Christmas, and I was watching the news, and there was a gentleman who was interviewed, and it was just when the government had announced that they were going to restrict the rules around gathering for that Christmas period. And he said, the best news that I've received this Christmas is that I don't have to go and spend time with my in-law. That brought him joy and a smile to his face. But friends, when we watch the news on a daily basis, whether it's Sky News or BBC News or Channel 4 News, ITV, you name it, one thing that you will definitely count on is, regardless of the news channel that you decide to watch, ultimately, each day, there is bound to be some bad news that is being shared. I mean, every day, just watch the news, and you will hear about wars. You will hear about rumors of wars. You will hear, unfortunately, about murders and antisocial behavior, and the list goes on and on and on. Because without seeing death through the lenses of the Christian faith, the ramifications of death and ultimately the sting of death is far, far away from being good news. Yet, church, the glorious light of the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is considered to be good news. And it's called good news, but I believe it's really the greatest news. The fact that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life on the cross. Yet still, the question out there, friends, the question of your neighbors, the question of those that you work with, the question of those of your friends who have not yet made a decision to follow Jesus, the question of those who are antagonistic towards the Christian faith, is how can death, the news about Jesus dying, how can it be good news? It just doesn't make sense. What is really good about the gospel when the gospel, number one, it starts with the death of Jesus Christ? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, Mark opens his gospel, the presentation of his gospel account, with this very simple verse: the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The Son of God. And as we will go through the gospel according to Mark, we know that the good news, first of all, starts and commences with the death of Jesus Christ. But not only is there a correlation between the gospel, good news, and death, the death of Jesus Christ, but it's also symptomatic of our experience with death. Because all of us in this room today, for those of you who are Christians and you've given your life to the Lord Jesus, we know about death. And I'm not talking about the literal form of physical death, because we wouldn't be here. But it's death and the penalty that results in death. And that, of course, is sin. Because the wages of sin equals death. And all of us in this room, myself included, before we encountered the gospel message and the good news of Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were dead. And friends, we have to be very conscious of including the death aspect of our testimony when we share our story with those who have not yet received the good news of Jesus. We can't just skip to the good part of our story of how we were born again and how we believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we have to include the death aspect of our testimony. And yes, I know some parts of it can be gory, but it's all part and parcel, and it bears witness to the goodness of God. That whoever you are and whatever life that you used to live, the gospel can change your life. That's why it's good news. Because the hope of the gospel is for those who are out there. Some of them believe that they could never come to a church. Why? Because they believe that they are too messed up. Not good enough. Not worthy. Can't meet a certain standard. And they have a certain perception of what we are like as Christians, that we're just goody two-shoes, that we have halos around our heads, that we never do anything wrong. And they have this perception that they can't come to church. I know people like this. They will not come to church because they think they're not good enough. But I would just love to invite them to hear some of our stories. That before we met Jesus, some of the things we used to do, some of the things we used to believe, some of the things we were involved in, and yes, we might not feel comfortable sharing some of these things, but oh, it's so powerful when we get to the part that, but when we met Jesus, he changed my story, because the glory is not in the shame and the sin. We're not glorifying sin, but it's laying hold to the fact that whatever you have done, whatever state in life you are, Jesus can meet you at the area of your need. So don't be scared about including the death aspect of our stories. Don't just try to pretty up our testimony. Try to make it flowery and sound good. But tell it as it is. We were sinners, but we are saved by the grace of God. We're fast approaching the holiday season. I know for some of you, maybe you have booked nice holidays. And one of the things about booking holidays is they give you options, whether you would like just the bed and breakfast, whether you would like what they call half board, or whether you would like the experience of all inclusive. That means you get your breakfast, you get your lunch, you get your dinner, and all of the knickknacks in between. And our testimonies, it's so important that we don't share just a half-bored testimony. But we've got to include the fullness. It's an all-inclusive story that is so powerful to the world that is desperate and yearning for good news. So my first point to encourage you is, yes, the death aspect of the gospel is gory. As Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross, as we heard last week on Good Friday. But yes, we have to share that aspect because it leads to the full picture of the good news of the gospel. But then the second aspect of this good news, death, but then it's also burial. Burial. Good news. Death, burial. What does burial signify, church? As Jesus's body was laid in Joseph's brand new tomb. They sealed the entrance of the tomb and they put some guards to guard the entrance. But what does the burial signify for us today? It's the fact that we too, before we met Jesus, we didn't have any hope. We were hopeless. Our hopes were buried. And that's exactly what they believed to be when Jesus was buried in that tomb. They thought they had shut the Messiah up. That his story, his testimony, his good work, his miracles, it was all finished, done. In church, there's so many out there who feel just like that. Hopeless, finished, don't know how they're going to make it, don't know where to turn next. So they turn to things in this world that can bring some sense of satisfaction to subdue and to numb the pain and to take them out of the realm of depression and darkness and dismay. Burial. Because burial signifies that it's lifeless. Finished. Done. But yet still, the good news of our gospel is that the burial is not the end. Because we have a hope that not even a tomb could subdue. We have a hope that not even Roman soldiers could subdue. And just like that video portrayed, almost like Mark chapter 5, when Legion, this man who was experiencing the fullness of devils that were consuming his life, and they tried to help him by tying him up, and he would break the chains, and they didn't know what to do with him. He was suicidal, cutting himself with stones, hopeless, just wanted to die. But when he saw Jesus, and that is the good news of the gospel, that whoever you are out there, all you need to do is get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will give you hope that it is not finished. There is still hope. That's why as believers, we don't sorrow as those without no hope. Even in the darkest moments of our lives, even when we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death and we lose loved ones, and yes, it hurts, it really does, it hurts. And that's natural. But yet still as believers, God has given and deposited within us this great hope that we do not have to sorrow as though we do not have hope, because we do have hope through Jesus. So death, burial, how is that good news, Nathan? Because it all leads to resurrection. If it were to stop at death, then yeah, the answer to my sermon title today would be not much good about it. If it was to stop at burial, then yeah, I'd have to agree, not much good about it. But all roads lead to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That completes the gospel message. Hallelujah. And the gospel is available for anyone who would believe in Jesus Christ. Because he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus In Mark chapter 1, he goes in chapter 1, verse 15, he goes on to say, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." That is the message. It's good news for the world, but the world must respond to the good news. And how we respond to the good news, Jesus says, it's through repentance and through believing in the good news. It's identifying and recognizing that I am undone, that I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried in a tomb. But on that third day, he rose with all power in his hands. Hallelujah. Resurrection brings the hope of new life. Resurrection brings the hope of new possibilities. The resurrection, it brings new hope. Jesus rose back to life, and now we too are called to walk in the newness of life. The beginning of the good news, it's all about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Amen. So as we draw this service to a close, I want to encourage you this week, share your story. Share it with someone this week. In this room are some powerful, powerful testimonies of how Jesus has impacted your life. Don't keep it to yourself. The world is yearning to hear about the transforming power of the gospel. So I'd encourage you to share your story. And as I said, don't leave out the gory bits. Yes, I know some things are personal. You don't want to share. That's, I understand. But it all leads. Death, burial. It leads to the resurrection. Because the world is looking for that hope. And some feel so lost and so discouraged. And if they can hear that such were some of us until we met Jesus, then they too can have that hope. Just like the woman at the well, when she went away, she said, "Come see a man. Told me all things. Isn't he not the Son, the Christ, Son of the living God? Isn't he not the Christ?" Today, throughout this series, at the conclusion of each session, each sermon, we're going to give an opportunity for anyone who wants to embrace the good news of Jesus. And again, I'd like to call you back to that round table. All are welcome. And whether you're hearing this gospel message for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And this good news is available for you today to receive. And if that's you, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, he loves you and he died for you. All you have to do, say, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you." And maybe you're around the table and you are a Christian. You've been a Christian for years. And maybe you're saying, "You know what? I feel a bit tired spiritually. I feel a bit worn. Just feel a bit down. I feel a bit burnt out. Stress of life and so much going on at the moment, and And I'm around the table, and I've been sitting around the table for a while now, but I just need a refuel. I need just to feel a refreshing in my soul. And I'd invite you today to spend some time just to experience that refilling of His Holy Spirit. Whatever state you are sitting around the table, you are welcome to feast at the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the gospel is all-inclusive. That you came to earth and you died on the cross. And although your death was gory, and although your death was really such a horrific situation as you bled, you were crucified on that cross. And yes, you were buried. But we thank you that that's not how the story ends. That you rose on that third day. And that is why we call it good news. And I pray for anyone here today that wants to believe in the good news. I pray that you would nudge their hearts today. He that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him hear, hallelujah, what the Spirit is saying to the church. And maybe for those who have been around the table for a while and just feel tired and feel stressed, I pray that through your Holy Spirit today, that you would revive, restore, replenish, encourage, build up again. Because your gospel has the power to do just that. New hope, new possibilities, new life. We love you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.